Mate!
Anya stopped, and sweat poured down her face and into the folds of her karate uniform. The gi was stained with the sweat, dust, and exertion of the past 3 hours. She turned to the judges and waited. 2 white flags went into the air. Anya beamed, but contained her joy over winning the match. Instead, she executed a formal bow from her waist to the judges. Then she walked to her opponent, a 20-something punk rocker with tea-stained reddish-brown hair. He was still bent over, looking for the air Anya had knocked out of his lungs.
Oh, how did you do that?
I thought you had me, Saru, but somehow my reflexes kicked in.
Good fight. I may never breathe again, though.
Anya turned and went the other way, toward the side where her gear awaited. 1 more match and she'd be done. But the last fight of the evening was looking to be nearly impossible. She gulped down water and waited for the next opponent to walk onto the mat. When he did, Anya felt her stomach twist into knots. Nezuma Hidetaki was one of the most feared fighters that the Kyokushinkai had ever produced. A hard stylist, Nezuma liked to practice his punches against brick buildings. He'd split his knuckles so often that doctors had finally removed the remaining cartilage and simply sewn the knuckles together. Nezuma was only 5 feet 6 inches tall, but his thighs were as big around as tree trunks. He strode across the mat and stood in front of Anya with his arms folded across his barrel chest.
I will not be as easy as Saru was.
Who said Saru was easy?
Nezuma did some deep squats across the ring, warming up his body. As the reigning champion, he only had to fight 1 match, the last one. Anya was already as warm as she was going to get. All that remained before her in this tournament, being held in the Tokyo Budokan, was Nezuma. If she won this match, she'd be the lightweight champion in the Interdiscipline Budo Championship. The judges looked at Anya, and she nodded, then stepped onto the mat. Nezuma turned and bowed to the judges. Anya did the same. Nezuma turned to Anya and gave her a curt bow. Anya bowed in the same style.
Hajime!
Nezuma immediately stalked Anya, coming at her from the side, almost like a crab. Anya pivoted to her southpaw stance, bringing her guard higher than normal, aware that Nezuma preferred to attack with straight punches aimed at the head, trying to score immediate knockouts. He had successfully knocked out 3 of his previous opponents on his way to becoming the champion he was, the one Anya hoped to become. Nezuma was testing Anya with feints to her thigh. Out of nowhere, Nezuma's fist went straight for her head. Anya dropped back and away. Nezuma had punched her arm away from him, interrupting the throw. She clutched her throbbing arm. She decided to do something that went against all her strategic thinking. She aimed her left foot at Nezuma's head. The strike caught him by surprise, and he just managed to move out of the way. Anya knew Nezuma would counterattack during her landing. So instead of standing, she continued to drop to the ground and swept a leg towards her opponent. 1 point for Anya. Just 1 more to go. Nezuma hauled himself to a standing position and glared at Anya.
Hajime!
This time, Nezuma didn't waste time by trying to find Anya's weak points.
That makes us even at 1 point each, Miss Kate. Now it really is anyone's match. Let me help you up.
Thanks.
Just don't mistake this for anything but what it is. A long overdue lesson for all women that they need to stay away from Budo.
What a perfectly antiquated statement. But don't worry, I'll make sure this doesn't sting too much when I lay you out on your butt.
Anya and Nezuma faced each other for the last time. 1 point for either of them would decide the match. The referee looked at them both. Anya nodded. Nezuma grinned.
Hajime!
Anya circled Nezuma. She saw the glint in his eye and just barely dodged the roundhouse kick. Anya moved aside and dropped in for a punch, but Nezuma recoiled incredibly fast and shot his left arm out. Anya knew his arm was placed in an Aikido move known as Iriminage, the entering throw. Anya felt the pressure on her throat and knew that if the throw finished, she'd be defeated. Instead, she grabbed Nezuma's arm and used it to vault herself over like a gymnast. They both backed off. Sweat poured down both of their faces. Anya blinked through the salt and kept her guard up. Her arms felt like lead weights dragging her down, but she was all too aware of how prize fighters often tire. Once the guard started to drop, the other fighter usually had no problem finishing them off. Anya was determined not to let that happen, especially since she'd spent enough time listening to her self-appointed trainer, Eddie, harp on her about keeping her hands up where they could protect her. Nezuma's guard had stayed perfectly in position throughout the entire fight. His arms looked like coils of tight sinew wrapped around steel girders. He still maneuvered on deeply bent legs, keeping his center of balance low and steady. Trying to unseat him would be almost impossible. She blocked the series of stomping kicks and countered with a roundhouse to his head. It was blocked, and she went low. Anya came up, driving up with an uppercut aimed at the underside of his jaw. Nezuma instead dropped to the floor and kicked his right foot out, directly into Anya's stomach. She crashed to the floor in a broken heap, just as the judges raised their red flags. Nezuma had won the match.
Next time, Nezuma.
I would suggest you work harder on your natural abilities. Perhaps cooking.
As Nezuma bowed to his adoring crowd, Anya hobbled over to her bag and drank down some of the last remaining water in her bottle. Once Nezuma was finished and left, the spectators filed out in the same orderly way as they had come into the Budokan. As she drank, she thought about what had brought her here in the first place. After her last adventure, she'd needed a vacation. More than that, she'd wanted to test herself. And the martial arts news group she sometimes frequented had posted news about the upcoming tournament. It seemed a perfect time to do something for herself, so she made her travel arrangements from her loft in Brooklyn. Within 12 hours, she was hopping a flight bound for Tokyo. 14 hours later, she arrived and went straight to her hotel and fell asleep, trying to get her system in tune with the time zone change. Maybe she was still jet-lagged. She noticed she had run out of water. She turned to find another bottle and saw a face with the deepest, darkest eyes she had ever seen on a man. The man held out a fresh bottle of water and smiled.
Here.
Oh, thanks.
That was some fight. You held your own against him remarkably well.
Remarkably well? What's that supposed to mean?
Ah, please, I meant no disrespect. I certainly do not share Nezuma's viewpoint on the role of women in society.
You know what he thinks about women?
Nezuma has made no secret of his views. You can read about them in any number of magazines. But you made him work for that win, and that is something that doesn't happen too often. You should be quite proud of how well you fared.
I'll save that for when I'm feeling better. Right now my guts feel like they want to stage a revolt in my stomach.
He offered his hand.
My name is Kenichi Ogawa. I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance, Miss Creed.
Nice to meet you.
It's not often that this tournament attracts someone of your professional stature.
You've heard of my work?
Certainly. You are, in fact, the reason why I am in attendance tonight. This is not my usual scene, I'm afraid.
So you took time out of your schedule to come here and meet me?
Yes, I did.
And do you make it a habit to pick women up at martial arts tournaments?
Does this look like a pickup?
I'm not sure yet.
Perhaps I might be interested in you for professional reasons.
Professional reasons?
I'd like you to find something for me. Something old and quite priceless. Are you interested?
Do I need to find it right this minute?
No, not really.
Well, in that case, I'll head for the showers now. And after that, you can take me out for dinner. Then we can discuss your professional reasons, and I'll decide then if I'm interested in your priceless artifact. Okay?
Okay.
And with that, Anya picked up her bag, turned, and walked away, aware that Kenichi Ogawa was standing stock still behind her, very much surprised by the conversation that had just transpired. The Spartan showers at the Tokyo Budokan weren't the kind of luxurious bath Anya would have preferred if she'd been home in New York City, but the scalding waters were good for relieving the tenderness of her sore muscles. She soaped herself up using the fragrance bar she carried with her, ridding herself of the body odor stench that seemed a fixture in gyms all over the world. Aside from her bruised ego and the purplish welts already covering parts of her battered body, Anya felt refreshed when she emerged from the changing area, dressed in a gray turtleneck and black slacks. Kenichi lounged by the front of the Budokan, now almost entirely deserted except for the various ushers and cleaning crew. He seemed uninterested in the scenery around him. Anya could see his breathing was relaxed and deep, and every minute or so, his head scanned the immediate vicinity. Despite his lackadaisical demeanor, Anya knew he was completely aware of everything happening around him. She'd seen the same relaxed attentiveness before in some of the intelligence operatives she'd met during her various adventures. Still, she didn't figure Kenichi for a spy. He looked up as she approached, his eyes giving her a lingering once-over.
You certainly clean up well.
Thanks. Are you always so blunt?
Are you wondering why I tend to be at odds with the relative obliqueness that most of my countrymen embrace?
I would have said it differently, but yeah, something like that.
Kenichi led them outside, holding the door open for Anya. She felt the cool breeze wash over her, and was glad she'd opted for the turtleneck. Kenichi guided her toward the parking lot.
I was educated abroad, and personally, I never really liked having to pry honesty out of people. I find it easier to simply say what I think or feel, within the bounds of reason and tact, of course, and see where it leads.
Interesting. Is that likely to catch on here?
I doubt it will ever be so. Japan's ways are ingrained deep into her psyche. Change is a very difficult thing to produce here. And this is me.
He pointed at the black Mercedes S550 parked alone under a street lamp.
Nice ride.
I have a bit of a weakness for nice cars. As much as I try to wean myself, every year there seems to be something new that grabs my gut.
Any other weaknesses I should know about?
Maybe later. Right now, let's get something to eat. You must be famished after that grueling session you just logged.
I could definitely eat. It has been some kind of day.
He slid the car into gear and they moved off into the traffic. At a traffic light, Kenichi turned and smiled again.
First things first. Please call me Ken. It's easier than the mouthful that my name really is.
Okay then, Ken. Where are we going? Steak and lobster? McDonald's?
There's a coffee shop in Kanda we can hit. They've got a very diverse range of food. That way you can best decide what will replace the nutrients you lost earlier.
I appreciate that. Why don't you tell me about the object you're trying to locate?
If you don't mind, I'd rather we wait until we eat first. Your attention right now is somewhat diffused. I need you a bit more concentrated.
I'm focused on you, Ken.
I don't doubt it. But I think a meal in your stomach will do some good before I unleash my family's woes on you.
Family? You're married?
I meant family in the lineage sense. Ancestors, descendants, that kind of thing. And no, I'm not married.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's no problem. We're here.
Ken parked the Mercedes in the tiniest parking lot Anya had ever seen.